More than now, more than 250 years ago, the European settlers who came here, many of them were a part of England. They were under the rule of the English king, and they were Englishmen. And then this great battle was fought, and the English king was defeated. And the people gained their freedom from the king. They gained their freedom from English rule, and they got a new identity as Americans. Now, imagine that if after that battle had been fought, the people in America had continued to pay taxes to England, had continued to be ruled by the King of England, and had continued to refer to themselves as Englishmen, we would have thought that the battle then was for nothing. Right? And they would have looked very foolish. And yet, for many of us as Christians, man, we're living that same kind of captivity, not recognizing that something has changed. Christ has defeated the powers of evil, and he has liberated his people. And we have a new identity in Christ. In Christ, we are a new creation. We're no longer the old selves that we once were. We're now new kinds of humans that God has created us to be. When we surrender our lives to Jesus, when we give our love and our loyalty to King Jesus, we are a new creation. The old has died. And this new identity that we have received from Christ is not something that we have earned. It's not something that we have deserved. It is a gift that we receive by faith from Christ. And believing that I am a new creation, believing that that the old has died and that the new is here, believing that is the key to having our behaviors and our thoughts and our desires and feelings transformed so that they are aligned with our new identity in Christ. We have to believe what he says that we are, because we begin this life by faith, believing and trusting, and we make progress in the Christian life by faith, believing and trusting what we don't yet see. And so we said that we're spending a few weeks in Ephesians looking at our identity and who it is that God says that we are. And so we're going to, this morning, look at where the last verse we read from last week, the end of that section, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, where he says, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Now, we said last week when you were here that the new self, the word for self is the word human. In Greek, it's anthropos, however you would say that. The Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word for human is Adam. Y'all know how we normally say Adam? Adam, all right? To put on the new. So y'all, you're hearing this. You're hearing Paul say, created like God, new Adam. Does that remind y'all of something? Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. So what Paul wants you to hear in this moment is he wants you to hear Genesis chapter 1. Absolutely. So let's flip back to Genesis chapter 1 and see what it is that Paul has on his mind as he's writing those words. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind. The word is really humankind. God created mankind, humankind, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. All right. Right here in the beginning, when God is creating humans, they are created to be a reflection of God, like God. They're not created to be divine, but they're created to be like God, a reflection of God's character and a reflection of God's holiness. And our task as humans was to reflect God's wisdom into his creation and then to reflect creation's worship back to God. And so humans are given unique authority. You hear that? He creates us in his image, and then he invites us to rule over this creation that he's created on the earth. Humans are given unique authority to rule over creation on God's behalf. Humans are to be God's royal representatives on the earth. It's the way that God is going to build out the earth and bring life and blessing to every corner of his creation. So that's human right there. So what does it mean to be human? If you think about, what does it mean? What is a human? If we're a human, what does it mean? It means to be like God in righteousness and holiness. It means to be someone who reflects his character and his goodness and his qualities to the world. And it is someone who is given the vocation of ruling over the earth in such a way that all of God's good, loving, and wise rule is going to be reflected to every corner of the creation. All right? So, I mean, that's Genesis 1, right? Is to be like him, a reflection of God's character and qualities in the world, and to have the vocation, the task, the job of stewarding over the world so that God's loving grace and kindness is spread, partnered with God, trusting him, bringing life and blessing to every corner of God's creation. He uniquely gives humans this authority to rule over and to steward his creation. So when someone says, I'm only human, right? You heard somebody say that? I'm only human. Do they mean I live in a trusting relationship with God and I reflect God's character and qualities to all the world and I'm ruling and reigning over all creation in such a way that God's goodness and blessing and grace is spreading to every corner of his creation? Is that what people mean? No, that's not what we normally mean, is it? Normally when somebody says I'm only human, what they mean is I'm sinful and selfish. Right? And what we have to recognize when we say those things right there is that sin is not what characterizes humans. Sin is not the defining character of what it means to be human. Sin dehumanizes. Sin distorts. Sin is a malfunction. Sin is a broken down version of what it means to be human. Here is a picture. This is a car. But if this is what you think about when you think about a car, you've got a distorted vision of what cars are, don't you? When we think of what it means to be human, we say, I'm just a human. I'm only human. We're humans. You know what? Aren't you thinking of that? Most of us are thinking this broken down, distorted, malfunctioning version of what it means to be human. We're not thinking of what the Bible says it looks like for us to be human. And the reason that it's so hard for us to understand what humans are is it's because we're so acquainted with the distorted, malfunctioning versions of humans that surround us that we've come to know. Because when humans cease to trust God and worship God, instead of reflecting everything that is true and good and right and lovely into the world, when we cease to trust and worship him, what we begin to reflect into the world in that moment is we begin to reflect fear and pride and shame and dominance and violence, all those things. When we cease to worship the Creator and we choose to worship created things instead, we become slaves to the things that we worship. And when we become slaves to the things that we were called to steward and rule and reign over, what we get is the distorted version of humanity that we see today. What happens when people of not good character who like to dominate others and who are filled with pride, what happens when they're given positions of power and authority? It's not good, is it? Yeah, and God has endowed humans with power and authority to rule and reign. And when humans who are endowed with the authority to rule and reign cease to worship God and instead come to worship the creation and become slaves to the creation and begin to reflect violence and death and dysfunction into God's world, then what happens is all of creation falls with us. That's why you read in Romans chapter 8, this verse right here. It says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Do y'all hear what the scripture's saying? All of creation, the birds and the animals and the plants, all of creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Because if there's going to be restored creation, there has to be a restored humanity. If there's going to be a restored creation, there has to be restored humans. Because where humans go, all creation goes with us. Because that's the way God designed things. And he put us as ruling and reigning over those things. And when we cease to rule and reign as a reflection of God's character, we don't cease to rule and reign. We rule and reign in a way that brings death, dysfunction, disorder to all of God's good creation. And the scripture says all of creation is awaiting for the sons and the children of God who would be a reflection of their Father. And all of creation is waiting for these new humans that would bring blessing and life as we were called to do in the very beginning. All of creation is waiting for them to be revealed. So when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and it says, put on the new human, put on the new Adam, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What Paul is saying is something happened. Christ has done something radical. And we're being invited to put on the new kind of human that we read about in Genesis 1. But before sin distorted and twisted, before we became malfunctioning versions of what we were intended to be. And what Paul is saying is that in Christ, God is creating humans who will reflect his character and his holiness and who will bring life and beauty and order into the creation. And he's not calling us to become something that we have never been. He's calling us to become what we were always intended to be. To be that which God created us to be. Reflections of his goodness. And Paul says, this is happening. He wants us to see that when we are in Christ, it is a new creation story. It is a new beginning. A new human with a new identity. The story is beginning again. Christ has defeated the forces that held us captive. And now we get to begin again and we receive this new identity in Christ. And we begin to be these new humans and our vocation is restored to us again. All right. Now you see this. This is why we're spending some time in Ephesians. You see this right here. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, we read this. We talked about this verse a week or so ago. He says, and God raised us up. Now, all this is, the previous verse says, we've been made alive with Christ. For those of us who are in Christ, right? He says, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Now, some of us, we hear that verse that Christ has seated us in the heavenly realms, and we think someday I'll die and I'll go to heaven and be with Jesus. And that's true. If you die before Christ comes again, you will go to heaven and you will be with Jesus until that day when Jesus comes again and restores heaven and earth the way it was intended to be. But that is not at all what Paul is talking about right here. Paul is not talking about what happens to you when you die in this body. Paul is talking about what happens to you when you are put in Christ, when you give your love and life and loyalty to Jesus Christ. He's talking about what is true of us who are in Christ. He's talking about authority. He's talking about ruling and reigning. And if Christ died and Christ was resurrected and he's now in the heavenly realms, which means he is ruling and reigning over all creation, and we are in Christ, now seated with him, we are now ruling and reigning in Christ with him with authority again to bring life and blessing to every corner of God's creation. Do y'all hear? This is exciting to me. Do y'all hear what Paul is saying? That vocation that we were given in the very beginning, Man, to be the people of God, reflecting his character, ruling and reigning, bringing life and blessing to his creation, has now been restored to us in Christ today as new creations. That's what he wants us to understand right here. We are becoming fully human again. We're not becoming something other than human. We're not trying to be something that we were not created to be. We're becoming what God intended us to be from the very beginning. And now we are ruling and reigning with Christ. That's why Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he says this. He says, if by the trespass of the one man, that would be the first Adam, if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. All right. When Adam and Eve chose to worship creation rather than the creator, they subjected themselves to the rule of death. And death, sin, dysfunction was ruling and reigning. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Man, if through one man, a humanity became captive to sin and death and then brought dysfunction to God's creation, how much more in Christ will we be restored so that we reign in life and bring blessing to God's creation? He says, this is now who we are. Sin and death once ruled over us. Death reigned. Our old selves were ruled over. We were captive to sin and death. We were stuck. We were weak. We were powerless to change. But the gift of God that Paul is speaking about here is that we are liberated from captivity. And in Christ, we are over the things that once ruled over us. We are now ruling over the things that once ruled over us. We aren't simply forgiven in Christ. We're not simply forgiven and waiting to go to heaven when we die. We are set free to be true humans, to regain our humanity that God intended from the very beginning. You are not victims in Christ. In Christ, you are not weak. In Christ, you are not captive to your sins. You're not captive to your past. You're not captive to your shame. You're not captive to your failures. You're not captive to the powers of this world, whether they are seen things or unseen things. Those things have lost power over you. You have been liberated and set free to be the kind of humans that God intended for us to be in the very beginning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Because here's the truth. We will never become that until we believe that. We will never experience it until we first believe it. And the task of discipleship is to have our minds renewed by God so that we believe what he says about us. The task of discipleship from here on out for all of us as we walk with Christ is for our minds to be renewed in such a way that we come to believe what he says is true about us. And when we come to believe it and accept it by faith, then we begin to experience that life which Christ has made possible for us in the here and now. This is what Paul wants us to grab a hold of. He has freed us to become human again. Now, when pagans hear ruling and reigning, what do they think about? When people who are not in Christ, when they hear the words ruling and reigning, you think about dominance. You think about power to force people to do whatever you want them to do. That's what it means to rule and reign over. Ruling and reigning means you use your power to force other people to do what you want them to do. Some Christians, when they hear this from Paul, that we are ruling and reigning, what they think it means is that we need to take over the government and pass laws and force everybody to do the things that we believe in. But our vision of ruling and reigning comes from the scripture and Jesus, not from the culture. And when we think of someone who is ruling and reigning, when we think of a true human who is ruling and reigning, who are we supposed to see? And with one voice, we say, Jesus, right. The problem is we hear this as far as we hear ruling and reigning, and we begin to immediately look to politics or armies or somebody else or this or that, somebody using power to force or coerce or dominate. And instead of hearing, looking at Jesus and say, whatever ruling and reigning looks like, it looks like that man that was crucified on a cross. He was a true human who ruled and reigned in life. And he ruled and reigned in death. And he rules and reigns today in life. Whatever it looks like to rule and reign, and it looks like Jesus. And what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 was this, verse 25. It says, Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And all of us ought to go, hang on a second. That's not what I thought ruling and reigning looked like. And if it doesn't hit you, it hadn't hit you. Jesus says, here it is. You want to reign and rule. You want to reign and rule. Don't do it like other people do it. That's not your calling. How are you going to reign and rule? You're going to become servants. You're going to lay down your life. You're going to lay down your life. And every time you forgive, and every time you bless instead of curse somebody, and every time you choose humility over pride, and every time you choose to serve instead of dominate, the new humanity is being made visible. The image of God is being made visible to the world. The goodness of God is being imaged to the world. And the world is seeing a picture of the King of the universe through his body, which is reflecting his character and his holiness. It's who you are in Christ. And when we come to the communion table today, we are coming to this communion table remembering the truth of our faith that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. But when we come and we take the bread and we dip it in the juice and we take it in us, we are remembering as we take Christ in us that we are in Christ, that we are in Christ, and that he was a true human who lived out the human's vocation. And we're now in Christ. We have this new identity. He has liberated us, and we are now learning to live as new creations. We're stumbling. We're like little children walking around. We don't know how to use our legs and our arms, and we feed ourselves. We smush potatoes in our eyes. Just saw that yesterday. But we are a new creation. And so we come to this table, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Because as I take him in me, I know that I'm in him. And the old self has died. And the new's been born. Not because I earned it or deserved it, but because I'm a new creation by the power of God. And I'm stumbling and learning and growing to live out this new creation, to be fully human again. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege of being restored and remade, created as you intended us to be from the very beginning. Lord, forgive us every time we've said we're just human because we've profaned what human is. To be human is to reflect you and to care for your creation in a way that brings your wisdom and goodness to every corner, every facet of all that you've created. So Lord, help us to trust and believe by faith what you say about us. Lord, shape our minds, renew our thinking. We know that's where it begins. It begins with a new way of seeing ourselves, a new way of seeing others. Shape and form our mind so that we trust you. So Lord, we confess that we are not worthy to pick up the crumbs from under this table. but you have invited us. We didn't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, you died for us, and you invited us to be yours. So we thank you. Lord, we remember how in the night when you were betrayed, how the disciples took, you took bread and you broke it and you gave it to your disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then when the supper was over, you raised up the cup and you gave thanks and you gave it to your disciples and said, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Lord, we gather around this table, grateful that you're taking broken down old versions of malfunctioning versions of what humanity is, and you're restoring our original design. Lord, we thank you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and juice, that as we come to this table today, they would become for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we receive the body and blood within us, that we might know that we are in you and that what is true of you has now become true of us. Lord, help us to see our lives in that light so that all that we do might become aligned with who it is that you say that we are. Lord, I pray that you would make us one with each other, one with you, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when you come again. And Lord, you're going to come again, and you're going to make all things right. And humans are going to rule and reign in a way that reflects your goodness. And you've invited us to be a part of that eternal kingdom. And so, Lord, until that day, help us to worship and to serve you with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. We pray this in the name of God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.